My guest today is Kosio. We're going to start by playing a track from the CD. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and we'll come back. We'll do some interview and some live performance with Kosio. Check out myspace.com/Kosio Music for more info. All lines up. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kosio. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
So let's start by giving the audience a sense of what we're looking at. We got a room full of people and instruments. So why don't we just move it around clockwise. Who are you and what do you play?
I'm Jeremy and I play the bass.
I'm Abigail and I sing and play the guitar.
My name is Mike. I play the drums.
My name is Bobby, and I play a bunch of stuff, mostly harmonica and percussion-y things.
Now, there's many of you also contribute to the vocals of this group as well. Like, it's not just one person, one instrument. You were saying you play a lot of instruments, Bobby, and how do you? Did it always start out that way, or did you guys start with, you know, with Abby, you as sort of the front girl in your band, and then people started contributing with different sounds?
I think that's exactly how it went, actually. I played alone for a little while, and then slowly each member came along and added whatever it was that they felt like adding, and voice came around from time to time. Yeah.
How long have you guys been together as Kosio?
Probably a year and a half now,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, just over a year and a half now.
And where are you guys coming from? What
Simi
area?
Simi Valley, Ventura County.
But you play out in Los Angeles a lot.
Yeah,
I imagine
yeah.
you spend
yeah, there's
a great deal of time in traffic.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, the majority of us work and go to school and everything in the LA area, so we bring our play as well as our work out here most of the time.
Well, thanks for coming out here this morning. Why don't we go right into a live song? What are you going to play for us first?
Patchwork?
Yeah, this one's called Patchwork Quilt.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kosio. Eternal sleep with Wow. It's really interesting how you know, the song starts out this sort of sweet, sensitive, sort of Western-themed thing, kind of touching on various, you know, religious iconography and ideas, and then you really just take your audience on a descent into hell. It's really amazing.
Welcome to our lives.
That was the goal we set out to do, so I'm glad that you're coming with us.
That's fantastic. This is a kind of music that kind of resists being compartmentalized into a specific genre. And, you know, there's obviously a country influence, but it's not country music. There's an indie rock influence, but I wouldn't just call it indie rock either. Abigail, when you started this concept, did you have that in mind? That there was a particular sound you were looking for?
Actually, this concept was very far from where I started. Actually, this was definitely a contribution of everyone. This new life that the music that I first started writing has. So it started, you know, very sweet coffee shop girl and a guitar thing, and add some boys and you just get some dirt and hell all over it. So I think that's how it got its flavor, really, is I just was kind of pulled in stylistic directions and each member brought their own stylistic impression. So
how did you start? You said you started just as a girl on a guitar. What possessed you to pick up that guitar?
My father, actually. He just always played the guitar. It was a kind of a fixture in my house that I didn't even really register as something apart from the norm. It was just, I was 13 and I thought, oh, that's an instrument I could play. And so I just went for it. My older brother had learned and my sister plays, and it was just my dad's, you know, my parents are heavily religious and they just would play worship songs and church music all throughout the house every day. And to this day, we just have big roundabouts with instruments. So I think that's how it came about.
Yeah, when I first got into the band, it was interesting. I went to, it was some kind of holiday or a birthday at the Cosio house. And the Cosio house, that's Abby's family. They just kind of bring everybody in. I mean, if everybody around the family just goes there, all the friends. I mean, some of us have lived there for a while. And it's amazing because you go in there on any kind of given afternoon, there's people playing music. They're singing Janis Joplin and some of these great old songs. And her dad is just kind of leading the charge musically. Like, you know, you'll walk in and he'll just be playing the blues all by himself in a corner. And it's just incredible. It's really hollow ground.
Is Cosio religious music, though, or is it just just some inspiration or some references?
It's actually quite the opposite, I would have to say. I'm afraid of offending people I've come from, but it was my own sort of deviation and inspires a lot of the lyrics. I was raised in this, you know, very good, solid foundation that I just eventually reevaluated and changed and
just sort of philosophically moved
away from. And but there's a lot of, you know, religious angst there, but you know, that'll come out. And I think I'm just really interested in like folklore, mythology. Like, I love the way Bible stories kind of, that's how we explain human interaction to this day. It's like, oh, Adam and Eve, that's why women and men interact the way they do, is because he's trying to get a rib back, and that's why. That's just, I love that sort of thing. So I think I pull on it in a sort of like angry, cheeky kind of way, the lyrics come from.
That's definitely a common thread with, I mean, at least definitely a few of us in the band. I moved into the Cosio house for the better part of 4 years and went to high school with Abby, and we all grew up in Simi Valley together. And I actually learned how to play music from Jesse as well. And the not so undertones of religious bashing, I guess you could say, that's going on is something that most of us share. So we can all put a lot into it.
So, I mean, it sounds like from the get-go, there's more than just a band with a bunch of different people playing different instruments. You have that sort of sense of family, of cohesiveness. Yeah. And so you guys spent a lot of time together developing the sound together.
Yeah, that's kind of where the name comes from. It is my last name, but mostly we chose it because it represents like this. I mean, Bob lived with us. We've had so many people just growing up in that house, and it was like the Cosio house. It wasn't my last name. It's just like this umbrella of the family members, unrelated or not, that just were just living there and creating a community. So Cosio represents that and that sort of identity.
Yeah. It's you, family. It's me, it's everybody.
Yeah. And it's interesting to have this kind of Christian, matriarchal, patriarchal family setting, and then all of us coming in, drinking and playing and having fun.
They love us. They just accept us.
Yeah, and they realize that we're just venturing out and having a good time at it, and find a lot of fault with those belief systems and kind of expressing that musically. And yeah, it's an interesting, it's a great place.
Did singing come as naturally to you as guitar?
That actually first, I my sister was the real singer in the family, and she did choir all through, and I started, you know, doing harmonies with her, and then I just kind of went with it and started playing, and singing wasn't really something I considered having being an attribute of mine, just because the older sister did it, and so yeah, it's definitely, I think it grew up, but.
Well, why don't we play another track from the CD that you brought in, and then I want to get to the rest of the band and find out how you guys fell into this incredible act, Kosio. This is an EP, Walk Through Blood, Sleep and Bones,
mm-hmm.
and this is available anywhere, everywhere?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. iTunes,
online,
all
iTunes.
The usual online stores,
yeah, MySpace,
our website,
KosioMusic.com.
KosioMusic.com, you can do it now, do it on that through PayPal, so, you know, the usual adventures.
All right, what track should we play?
I think we're going to do the first one, which is Coming Home. It's actually, it's kind of the title track. The title of the record, Walk Through Blood, Sleep and Bones, is a lyric out of that song.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kosio.
Otherwise, he's scolding
back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kosio. We were talking about the origins of the band. I'd like to go around to the rest of the band, just talk a little bit about how you found your instrument and then how you brought that instrument into this act. So why don't we start with you, Jeremy?
You know, I started playing jazz saxophone in junior high, I think, and did that all through college. Wanted to be a jazz musician. Realized it was largely impossible to make a living playing jazz, and then started kind of venturing out into rock and indie and a lot of stuff that was happening in the 90s, and found that musically I was kind of going in that direction. Started to join bands, learned to play bass to be in a band, and then actually saw Abby and Bobby playing in a coffee shop in Simi Valley. Never seen them before, was in another band of my own, and very quickly after that, in the same way, I was attracted to the kind of the icons, the myths, the writing content, the lyric content. She was kind of stretching out at the time, and just attracted to the fact that wow, there's a female artist here that's got a lot to say, and so with also a lot of freedom to play. So, yeah, I started playing bass in this band and been doing it for about a year and a half or so.
Nice.
Not even say a lot.
Yeah, she's the talky one.
Mike, do you want to share how you became part of the percussion of this band? It's actually interesting because most bands, they have like one percussion section. This is a lot of rhythm section for such a small band.
Which is nice because, you know, we spread out the responsibility and just makes things so much easier.
You do bass, I'll do snare.
Mike's worried about not having the pressure.
I've only got so many hands. Yeah, basically, I've been playing since about 13, I think, when I started. Playing in a lot of like punk bands and that sort of thing.
Was it always drums?
Yeah, always drums. I can't do anything else. And
it's the truth.
Did that start with just, you know, banging on pots and pans when you were a kid?
Yeah, basically. My dad was a drummer when he grew up, and he just had a drum set lying around, just dusted it off, picked it up. And as far as this goes, me and Abby grew up together. We went to school together. And I, you know, saw her play in coffee shops and just fell in love with the music. Basically begged her to, you know, do something a little adventurous and spread out a little bit. And she was a little scared.
Did you feel there was something missing from the girl and guitar sound that
it had so much potential, you know. And
there was something missing.
Yeah. She was scared to have to play to a beat. I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I can keep time like that.
Is there a certain way that you play that you think, you know, would bring out her words the best, that maybe is different from the way you would play in another band?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mike's got this interesting kind of uncharacteristic feel. I mean, I've played with other drummers. We've all played in other bands and stuff, and it was interesting to kind of come in, play bass, because bass and drums are pretty related as far as him and I making sure that we're doing everything at the same time.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
communication
there, and just the uncharacteristic but perfect way of kind of phrasing and stuff like that that comes out of him. It's worked out very well with the genre of music, especially. Just kind of being able to explore stuff.
I think it just comes from loving the music that you're playing, you know? Just you have a more of a feeling for it and, you know, create to that.
And so Bobby, what is the official list of instruments that you play in this band?
Oh, man. The official list. Right now I've got a harmonica strapped around my neck. I've got a floor tom in front of me with a tambourine strapped to the side of it. There's a washboard to my right, which some of these instruments I never played until I got into the band with, like the washboard, for example. It literally came off the wall in the house. It was decoration, and we thought that might sound good for a song, and now it's an integral part of the band. It's something that people look forward to at shows. It's on a number of songs. So when I started playing guitar, was doing some coffee shop stuff on my own, writing my own songs, which... thank God nobody will ever have to hear again. and just played guitar. I started playing harmonica. I was doing some blues work with another friend of mine. And pretty much when I came to Kosio, all I had to offer was harmonica. And now I'm kind of this I remind myself of like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins when he's in the park and they're doing the chalk and he's got all that stuff strapped to him and kind of just like trying to make sense of it all. So we're still trying to figure out what exactly it is that I do.
Do you feel more comfortable with a sort of a lot of little things that maybe if you were just playing one instrument at a time, you'd sort of like, well, what do I do with my, you know, right hand?
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's, I am the least, I guess, accomplished out of the musicians as far as the group goes. I didn't start playing until I moved in to Abby's house, so I've only been playing for a few years. So I pretty much never feel comfortable when I'm around these kids because they're fantastic.
Well, I think if you feel completely comfortable, then you're not doing your job. You know, you have to take some risk, put yourself out there to be in a band. What about the vocals that you contribute? You have a deep voice that's such a contrast from Abigail's voice.
Yeah, and actually that's worked out in our favor a lot. Instead of focusing so much on like harmonies and stuff, our voices can complement each other pretty well just singing melody. And so a lot of times we will actually decide, we'll work out a harmony for it and just be like, you know what, just go back to the melody, because I tend to get carried away on stage when we're doing performances and stuff, and it kind of comes through in a passionate way, and the songs tend to come out better, and it brings a little bit of life to what we're doing. And I mean, I pretty much get up there, close my eyes, and at the end of it, people either clap or stare.
Well, I think that's a great note for us to go into a live song with. Then, what are you gonna play for us now?
This one's called "How Scion Days."
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is Kosio live in the Kill Radio studio.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. That would take the band of prodigal children up the coast. They prayed the Lord would keep us safe and bring us home as we sing songs about our heathen ways. Shouting at the starboard at unfamiliar seas, and marveling at sights the folks at home would not believe. It's a fight to break on through our memorized horizon that keeps the current in the ocean, sets the sails full, sends the weary house high on day.
Listening is good on killradio.org. My guest is the band Kosio. So is it safe to say that your first gigs, your first live performances as a band were at the Kosio house? Is it that sort of prepare you for going out into into the real world?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, when you went from that family environment to actually playing in you know, venues, what was that kind of a shock? Was it the audience a lot different? It was something you had to get used to. There weren't people who felt that they had to be nice to you.
Yeah, yeah. That I think actually that's interesting because the last song we just played, Halcyon Days, was about, we just did a tour and I think we encountered that sort of not everybody likes you, not everybody likes what you play, and we have a great community of friends who come out to all our shows and really greet us with love almost like every show. So it was really weird to get up there and just have blank stares and not a lot of reception. And I got pissed. And that song was just kind of like, wow, okay, this is the harsh realities of being a performing musician.
Oakland was a tough show.
It's funny because it's pretty rare when people aren't into the music that we're playing, but definitely noticed a few times they'll catch on to a few of the lyrics and it might not exactly coincide with how they feel about things. And you get people walking out and kind of looking at us a little different. And occasionally some people cry.
Was the problem with it, with the Oakland show? Is it just the wrong bill for your band?
The Oakland show is notorious now.
What was wrong with the Oakland show? Yeah.
It just wasn't our place. It's just like that hot and cold sometimes. You just, and the day before we played in Santa Cruz and that was our place. You know, the whole building was dancing and it's like, that's what we considered our home away from home on that tour. And then we're on this high and I think that's probably why it hit us so hard.
Right.
We played Oakland the next night and it was like crickets, four people in the room and it's like, wow, all right. Good to know.
You never know. There's no like rhyme or reason to stuff. We could go back to Oakland and it could be fantastic, but we're probably not.
what do you think people connect to most with the music? I mean, this is music with a lot of lyrical content, with a lot of stories and a lot of metaphors. So there's a lot to listen to, but it's also really hard to get people to listen to the words of a song. So in the grand scheme of things, what do you think people respond to the most? Like the live performance with just the sound of the music or the words?
I think it's a split, actually. I think a lot of times people...
It starts with the music.
Yeah, they're attracted to, you know, Bob's enthusiasm on stage or our different instrumentation or a girl singing in a band. Sometimes that's all it takes. And then sometimes they'll, you know, then they'll dig a little deeper and listen to the lyrics. I think that's kind of why it's interesting. It's because people who don't listen to lyrics might be appealed to the sound that it is we're creating and vice versa.
And we have a lot of fun with each other on stage. And when we first started to play out and start to do like Hotel Cafe and some of those places in Hollywood, you could tell the audience liked what we were doing because we liked what we were doing too, kind of. We were interacting with each other and having a lot of fun.
Right.
And then 5-6 shows into it, you start to see people kind of emotionally react to some of the stories that are happening and some more of the lyrical content that's coming out. And it's neat to see the look on someone's look on someone's face when a lyric pops out that just kind of hits them.
Right.
And we're up there, you know, shaking our asses and having a good time for the most part. And there's this lady in the front row in the audience just kind of looking at you with this sense of loss or this, you know, sense of identification of what's being said. And it's cool to see that develop over time.
It's funny because some bands get up there and they perform like they're doing you a favor, you know, and like you're putting them out by making them play. and then there's other bands like what you're describing where there's not only the communication between the band and the audience, but also communication within the band on stage. They're like, you know, are you having a good time? I'm having a good time, you know, and kind of then the music itself becomes more of a conversation between the band. So
The audience allows us to basically get together and hang out and play shows every weekend. Yeah. And we love them for that. So thank you. If you guys are listening, Jason.
So it sounds like the live part of this is huge. Now, what about the recording part? I mean, we have this 5-track EP. That's a different animal.
Daunting.
Yeah. The EP we did, we finished that, like 8 months ago now? And anybody who's done recording knows that a recording is a snapshot of, like, kind of where you are in time. And those songs are a really great example of where we were 8 months ago. And we've done a lot of growing. We've only been together for a year and a half. So 8 months ago was still, I mean, we were very much still getting our feet wet. And we have kind of found a home now. I think we know what direction we're going. And the next record, which we will hopefully start recording
next month,
yeah, weeks. Is going to be just a lot closer to, I think, what it is that Kosio will hopefully eventually get known for. There's definitely some great tracks off that EP and some things on there that definitely represent who we are even now. But we're very much looking forward to getting back in the studio and doing some more of that. Right now, it's a lot of live shows. We just did a tour. We're playing Hotel Cafe on the 28th. We try and play out as much as possible, but we do need to record.
Yeah.
That's sort of like, it's like something you just have to do because you have to sell CDs.
It's more of a chore for us, I think.
I mean, do you enjoy sort of the freedom of sort of laying down a perfect track and not having to deal with things like Oakland sort of being free from the audience just for that moment?
You know, I don't want to hog this. I know we want to play some more music, but I do have a really good recording story, and she gets mad at me every time I tell it, but it's really good. And there's a track that we'll listen to, I'm sure, maybe next, called Eve. And Eve was one of those songs that when we wrote it in – Abby came to us with the chords and the lyrics, and the band just kind of came together in a matter of moments. We had this song written. Within 2 hours, we were like, let's play it tonight at the show. And so we went to record it, and – very heavy lyrics and a lot of emotion, and that's the hardest thing to get in a recording, is to get that point across. So
you're in such a sterile environment. Yeah. You know, you're in a box somewhere.
Yeah, it's really hard.
In this case, the living room.
Yeah, it's really hard to get those. Anyway, so we're recording all day long. Everyone's exhausted. We're kind of doing our thing, and we're doing some vocal tracks for Eve. And Abby's singing her parts, and they're just not coming across. And me and Jeremy are kind of pushing her a little bit, and she's not reacting so well. And we're not really doing a great job of encouraging her in the proper ways. And she starts getting a little upset, and we're like, all right, you know what? You know, we have tomorrow. We'll come back. We'll record it tomorrow. We got it. We have, you know, more time. And she's like, no, it's okay. I'll do one more. And we're like, no, really, it's fine. We'll come back tomorrow. And she's like, no, it's okay. I'll do one more. And we're like, Abby, really, it's not that big of a deal.
And this starts to get heated a little bit. With the, you're not going to record. Yes, I am. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Yes, I want to.
She gets the one eye closed, and then the hair splits, and the fire comes out. And she says, I want to do one more. And we're like, okay. So I sat on the floor right in front of her when she recorded it. And I don't know if I've ever been so scared in my life. She laid down the meanest vocal track I have ever heard come out of a studio recording, and that was the one. That was the one that we ended up keeping and throwing on the record. And I don't know. I look forward to pissing you off all over again.
It's a lot like those stories you hear about film acting, you know, where they're like trying to get the scene. They've been working all day, and then
method acting.
Something happens where the director says that one thing, whispers in his ear, and he's like, oh, and it just comes out of him.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we listen to that track now then?
Okay, great.
This is called Eve off of the Koseo EP. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kosio. So you mentioned at the beginning of that story about the song Eve that it was a song that got written very quickly. Is that how a lot of these songs come together? It sort of starts with an idea and then suddenly you're looking for a napkin and a pen, or how does that work?
Lyrically, I think, lyrically, and I've gone through a lot of changes in my writing style. The last maybe four or five songs I've actually written in my car driving to school, because I go to Otis and it's a long drive from Simi Valley, and so I'll just literally be sitting in my car and I'll get a lyric or a refrain or something, and then it just writes itself, and I go home and luckily find the chords to match the melody that I've written in the car.
So you should have write it in your head?
Yeah, which was, I didn't know, I was like, this isn't going to work, and it's worked a couple times. I'm a little, I don't know if I should talk about it. It might not work again. But, yeah.
Well, whatever you do, don't start writing it on the window with a dry eraser. That's probably dangerous. You guys ready to go into another live song? I don't want us to run out of time. I want to make sure we get at least four songs.
Sure.
Yeah. So what we got one more, you think?
This and then one more.
Okay. Awesome. This one's going to be called, this one is called Old Forgotten Tune. So it's definitely it's the slower, sadder side of Kosio, I think.
Good, that's easier to mic. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kosio live. Thank you.
beside the family stone. It's hard to know when what I am living without.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. What happened? I see you guys biting your knuckles. It sounded. I'm listening in the headphones. It sounded beautiful to me, but I'm sure you guys are dying inside from something I didn't notice.
We skipped a verse.
I forgot the lyrics to the middle verse, and that's a common problem I have because there's my song lyrics are such stories that if you forget a verse, you're fucked.
Like, the story doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I think you can put two and two together with that one, but it just kind of cuts you off at the knees, and I forgot a big chunk of the song. And it's like the lineage of loss in specifically our country, and so I forgot. You know, I forgot Vietnam. I forgot all kinds of good Revolution. I mean, come on. So.
Well, it's all one and the same anyway. It's, you know, it just keeps going on ad nauseum that way. So, well, we're gonna go a little bit over because I still want to get another song out of you guys. So you can make up for it there. But I want to ask you, we sort of touched on it a little bit throughout the interview. This idea that Koseo is this living, breathing thing that evolves. You guys have gone through so many changes from Abigail, from you just starting as a girl with a guitar and then bringing in all these other sounds and then even, you know, describing a lot of changes that have happened in just the past 8 months since you made this EP. What direction do you guys see yourselves going in and where are you trying, where are you hoping to land? How will you know when you've like, yes, this is Koseo.
Yeah, is that a corporate, probably, yeah. Much, corporate yeah. deal with Pepsi?
Endorsements.
Perfect. No, it's weird. It's kind of like a loosely orchestrated ship at sea in a storm.
Wow. I can't wait to hear where this is going.
I mean, it's
full
really
of
like
penguins.
Full of penguins. And it's funny because we haven't really planned out a direction or even sat down to talk much about where we wanted to go. We just started playing and songs will come in and we'll just, you know, Bobby will go, well, what do you think about me grabbing another floor tom? And why don't I play floor tom? Because I'm hearing a part. So he hunts down a floor tom, and next rehearsal, he's got a floor tom. I mean, Abby just bought a saw. Just because it's as we jam these songs together, we start to kind of put, like, I don't know, just anything that we hear involved. So I wish there was a better answer as far as direction goes.
Picture?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys are obviously going to continue to branch out with more instrumentation. But yeah, what about the big picture? What about being professional musicians, being a band?
Oh, that
I mean,
question.
Do you see yourselves like cover the Rolling Stones or, you know, great indie band with cult following that goes on for many, many years? Or are you hoping to get that one big hit, you know?
Yeah, definitely, I want to do this the rest of my life. And so I'm just more interested in being honest about myself and my music and our music. And I think that... honesty and integrity and talent eventually get noticed. So I'm just interested in keeping on that train. And I don't know if we can be ignored too long in that vein. So I think that's no Pepsi commercials in the future.
We know more of what we're not going to do as opposed to what we are going to do.
We're that kind of like, you know, when you're 13 and you get impressioned by your vegan friend and you get really angry and then in 10 years you kind of mellow out again. You're like, I eat dairy now. And it's sort of like that. Right. We have our ideals, but, you know, over time you work it into your lifestyle. So
you think you'll continue to evolve, though, and go through even more changes? Like, who I'm interviewing right now might not be the same Koseo when you guys come back for a follow-up a year from now or something.
Yeah.
We'll still have the house.
All right. Well, why don't we go with one more live song? What would you like to play for us?
This one's called Jails and Churches.
No. Two places I don't spend a lot of time in. Yeah.
Neither do we, thankfully.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Are we bringing out the washboard for this one?
We're bringing out the washboard.
All right.
Hopefully it'll come out.
I'm a hitchhiker on the long
showed me different. Just at some bars, your church, it's a prison. I'm praying in a bar. I'm holding chapel in your prison. I'm the limping crow outside your window. I'll eat the crumbs that you threw. Yeah, well, as long as I can see you, there's a hand out there's no pity. If I don't make eye contact, the forest floor is a bed I bear down an overnight cell. God, I'm here like a roam the long way home. Mama, I'd be worried, unlucky as she don't know. Bible told me one thing, the preacher showed me different. Just at some bars, the church is a prison. Hanging in a bar, I'm holding chapel in your prison. I don't know if it's better, but I've seen much worse. Like getting turned to salt. Guess being sentimental's a curse. I won't ask for redemption. I don't believe in your sin. I don't care why God is asking. I wouldn't sacrifice my skin. I'm a hitchhiker on the long way home. Mama be worried, unlucky she don't know the Bible. Show me different. Just at some bars, a church, it's a prison. Praying in a bar, I'm holding chapel in your prison. Run away from me, yeah. Go on, child. There's no God in this house. No, the devil runs through my veins. I'm a hitchhiker on the long way home. Mama, be worried, unlucky as she don't know. The Bible told me one thing, the preacher showed me different. Just at some bar, the church, it's a prison. Praying in a bar, I'm holding chapel in your prison. I'm a hitchhiker on the long way home. Mama, be worried, unlucky as she don't know. Bible told me one thing, the preacher showed me different. Just at some bar, the church, it's a prison. Praying in a bar.
You know, it's interesting, the washboard sounds a bit like a large group of people clapping at the same time.
Actually, there
that's
is
was,
a large group of people.
There's like 20 people in the room clapping in unison. It's awesome. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Let's before we completely run out of recording space, why don't we talk about where you're playing next and your websites. And I know you guys also have another radio interview today. I'm not jealous. So what's going on in the near future?
Tonight we're playing at 5 o'clock, KXLU 88.9. Yeah, so that's at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It's another live in session. That was a crazy coincidence that you both booked us the same day.
It's a very musical day.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a full band over there with, you know, we'll be making a little more of a ruckus, a little more noise. And then we're playing Hotel Cafe on the 28th of April, and we're playing at 11 o'clock there. We like Hotel Cafe because they let you make your own prices, and we don't like charging people a lot of money, so it's only $5 if you go there and you say you're there to see us, which is nice. What else do we have? When's Zoe's?
Oh, Zoe's is in June.
June 16th,
that's
right?
That's a really cool little place in Ventura.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zoe's Cafe on the 16th of June.
I graduate in May, so we kind of left.
Abby
that
graduates
open.
In May. I've got a doctor's appointment next week.
Right. And so it's kosiomusic.com and myspace.com/kosiomusic, right?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's the one.
COSIO. Why don't we leave our audience with one more track from the EP? Whatever we have left.
40 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 miles. It's a good distance to go.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
best
you.
Of luck.
Yeah.
Future.
Thanks a lot.
Please
thanks,
keep in touch.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Long.